Hey everybody, welcome back to my Subaru, and this week we are looking at some of my favorite quotes by Corrie Ten Boom. And this next quote is a quote I have used many times, but I did not know that it originally came from her. And here's what it is. If the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. If the devil cannot make you bad, he'll make you busy. You know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, but if there was a pandemic in America before this one, it would be that we are busy. In fact, busyness, I think, is one of the primary concerns that I have for the church in America, because our culture rewards busyness. And you say it all the time when you greet someone, hey, how have you been? Busy. And so even within the church, we can wear the busyness badge like a badge of honor. As I thought about this quote, a story came to mind from the Gospel of Luke, and it's in chapter 10. And I bet a lot of you have heard this story before. It's a story about two sisters. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was, and here's the key word, distracted. She was distracted. She was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, in some translations, Martha, Martha. Anytime Jesus uses the name twice, it is a compassionate, empathetic, loving way. So the New Living Translation says, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Notice what Jesus said. Whatever's going on in life, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Isn't that interesting that Jesus would tell us it is okay to be concerned, but only about this one thing? Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. What did Mary discover? The power, the blessing, and the peace that comes with sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want to paint Martha as a bad person. But let's be clear. This is not a compare and contrast within a Christian and a non-Christian. Martha is a believer. She is a follower of Jesus. She loves Jesus. In fact, Martha is someone that Jesus loved as well. Martha is one of those unique women. She's a leader. She's a homeowner. She's financially strong and stable. She's courageous. She speaks up. She takes initiative. She's the kind of person that gets things done. And those people are blessings in this life. They are a blessing to churches. Martha is engaged in ministry. Back in the Middle Ages, Martha was used to represent secular work. You had your Marthas and you had your Marys. And I don't believe that we can separate secular work from spiritual work. It is about the person that we are. Whatever it is we're doing, whether it's leading a prayer meeting or feeding people or doing the dishes in our own home. Scripture doesn't make that dichotomy of secular versus spiritual. Everything we do is potentially spiritual if we do it in the right way for the right reasons. So I suspect, though, that a few of you listening to this are Marthas. I think she represents a lot of people in the church, people who get things done, people who start things, people who show up whenever the doors are open, people who volunteer. And they're the kind of people that people like me who are vocational ministers that we count on. We count on those faithful, hardworking, dedicated people to get things done in the church. Martha's a very gifted person. But I want you to see something here. This story is not against serving, and it's not against people who are like Martha, gifted, strong leaders. Martha's issue was not that she was serving Jesus, but that she was, do you remember it? Distracted. Literally, the word gives us the image of being pulled apart inwardly. We're just being torn apart inwardly. And I bet some of you might be able to relate to that. I love what John Ortberg says on this scene. He says this, "Where did this voice come from that said, you must do this? Maybe it was her culture. Maybe it was the stereotypical role of women. Maybe it was the little voice inside her head. Maybe it was her mom. Maybe it was her reputation, what she was known for. Her name was from the Aramaic term Mar, and that was used for mistress of the house or hostess. Maybe that's what she was famous for being Martha." And then he says, maybe her last name was Stewart. See, Martha's problem was not in serving Jesus. It was when she was serving, and it was an issue of priorities for her. We greatly miss out. We greatly miss out on the joy that God wants to give us when we do serve Him, when we first take the time. And this is what's hard for a lot of Marthas out there, because what Mary was doing was the better thing to do at that time in that place. To sit still. It was probably driving Martha crazy to try to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Jesus while the kitchen was a mess. And yet, Jesus was inviting her to do what Mary was doing, to just be with Jesus. You know, we can get caught up doing things for Jesus or doing things for our family or for neighbors, and we forget to just sit at the feet of Jesus. You'll notice in the story, when things don't go as planned, she gets irritable. She starts to blame others. She even turns on Jesus and begins to blame Him. But this outer turmoil that she was experiencing and reflecting in this moment was really an indicator of what was going on inwardly in her. And here's what was going on. The reason Martha was so upset was because she thinks that everything she's doing is for Jesus, but it wasn't. She had a hidden agenda. She's trying to prove herself, and she's actually mad at Jesus because she feels alone. She feels like no one cares about her, and she's busting her tail to serve. And this is the thanks that she gets. And then, of course, she blames her sister, she blames Jesus, she blames others, simply because she wants to feel good about what she's doing. See, the truth is, she really wasn't serving Jesus, was she? Jesus would never ask someone to do so much that their life was being pulled apart in so many directions. And so Jesus gently reminds her, and He gently reminds you and me, don't miss out on the better thing. To sit at the feet of Jesus, to be with Jesus. We are human beings, not human doings. And we need to be careful not to get caught up and begin to define ourselves or find our identity in what we do, even if what we do is for others. And so I invite you today to really take some time and just be with Jesus. You don't have to say anything. You might read some scripture. You might read this story and meditate on it and reflect on it. And try to understand what it would be like to be Mary. and just sit at the feet of Jesus, what is he inviting you today to? What is he saying to you today? Take some time. Think. We need Marthas, but we need Marthas who are spirit-filled and have first spent great amounts of time sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, one of the beautiful things of this shelter in place, I know it's driving some of you crazy. You want to get out and do things, and you have an opportunity. Don't let it go to waste. We don't know how much longer we'll be sheltering in place, but don't miss out on this opportunity that you have to learn to be. Not just do, but be. Be with Jesus. God bless you all. May his peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See you next time.